episode of Talking Moto. Today, of course, you already know, we will be covering the first round of the Super Motocross playoffs. And there was some big news and big injuries that happened Friday at the free practices that they run here for the Super Motocross. First off, we had in the 450s, because we had two of them in the 450s, we had Justin Barcia have a practice crash, and so that caused him to sit out of the first round of the playoffs. And then we also had Jason Anderson, who also crashed Friday, crashed in the sand pretty hard, tried to give it a go Saturday morning in qualifying, wasn't able to do it, so he was out for, both of them were out for the races. And then in the 250 class, we had Casey Cochran, who had to sit out also due to a practice crash. So we had a pretty solid contender in Jason Anderson in the 450 class have to pull out. And then Justin Barcia, of course, we all thought we were going to see him making his return at the Charlotte round of the playoffs. He also had to sit out. And then Casey Cochran, the youngster in the 250 class, who had a breakout ride in Mount Morris, I believe, something in the Minnesota outdoor round, I do believe it was. So it's a shame that those three guys were unable to continue on to Saturday. I think that was really the only things that happened in between my preview show and then Saturday. So yeah, I think we'll jump right in. Joey Savacci, yeah, I covered that already. So yeah, we will jump here right into 250 qualifying, where we had RJ Hampshire coming back and making, I gotta get out of the habit of saying making a return, because so many guys made a return this weekend in both 250 and 450. But of course, RJ Hampshire did have the couple pro motocross rounds under his belt already, but he was the fastest lap with a 141.6, and then about half a second off of him was your SMX defending champion Hayden Deegan with a 142.10, because in third we had the youngster Julian Beaumaire, who really showed his speed all day. Obviously, here it started in qualifying third with a 142.13. And so then kind of looking at my big picture top five that I had going into here, obviously we had RJ, Hayden, Levi Kitchen qualifying fourth. That would be three, correct? Yes. Tom Vielle qualifying eighth, and I believe it was Chance Hymus, who struggled all day long. I had to pull off the track at one point, kind of holding his knee, hoping that I wouldn't mind seeing Chance Hymus, kind of for selfish reasons, sit out the rest of this playoff series, get his healthy, healed up, get some, get back onto an outdoor track, get ready for Motocross of Nations. But he qualified 14th with a 143.6. So, I mean, really, if you look at it, not too far off, just 2 seconds off of RJ Hampshire. But that 2 seconds is a big deal from first gate pick to 14th gate pick. So, Obviously, that's not where Chance Hymus wanted to be. We did see the return of his teammate in Joe Shimoda, who qualified ninth right behind Tom Vielle with also a 143. The only difference was 0.4 of a second made up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 positions. Shouldn't have had to count that out loud, but I did. So, yeah, 0.4 of a second made up 6 positions. So, obviously, it was tight all day long. You can even go down to, how far do we got to go? We'll go to top 20 with a, that was Nick Romano in the 20th position with a 145.4. So, that just goes to show that the boys were flying. So 145.4 compared to a 141.6. That is a big difference, but you wouldn't expect that to be first to 20th difference. At least in my mind, I would not expect that. Ty Masterpool, who we got some news about today, that would be Wednesday here, that I'll touch on at the end of the show. He ended up qualifying in fifth, rounding out the top five with a 143.06. So now, jumping over to the 450s now, we saw the actual return of somebody. I messed it up in the 250s saying the return of RJ Hampshire, but in the 450s, we had the return of none other than Jetson Lawrence. He was on top for quite a while. Eli was up there for a bit as well. Sexton even poked his head up in there. I don't think Sexton ever got to the tippy top of the qualifying board, but he did poke his head up there near the top. He was second for a bit right behind Jet. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Justin Cooper came in with a 139.5. 1/10 of a second ahead of Jet Lawrence, and Jet Lawrence was 1/10 of a second in front of Chase Sexton. So that just shows how close the racing could have been between. Wasn't really expecting Justin Cooper to be up there, but wasn't really surprised. I knew if he got a start, he's just as good as anybody in starts, if not maybe even a little bit better. But definitely after qualifying, watching that, and watching him put in that fast lap, I thought if Justin Cooper can get a start, he can be a big-time spoiler going into the two-moto format there. So, Eli Tomac qualifying fourth with a 140.373. And then Hunter Lawrence rounding out the top five, almost said top 10, top five with a 140.736. Right in front of Ken Roczen, who might have an electric start now. We saw it on his Instagram. He posted a video of a Twisted T graphic Suzuki with a yellow push button start. But then I did see some pictures of him riding either that day or today, being the next day. He still did have a Kickstarter on his bike, so I'm not sure if maybe they were just doing a little bit of testing. Maybe that'll get sent over to Ken Roczen's bike, but I mean, not the biggest deal unless he goes down or stalls it, which Ken Roczen, he's had some big crashes in the past, but usually very dependable on his dirt bike. So it'll really only make a difference on the start where he doesn't have to kick it. I did notice, I think it was before Moto 1, did seem like he kicked that bike pretty late. So not sure if he was having a little bit of problems with the Kickstarter, and that might have put a kickstart into the Suzuki guys to get a button ready for him. What else we got here in the 450s? Oh, in 10th, Aaron Plessinger was also involved in a little bit of a crash. Yeah, crash, mix-up. Went down pretty hard. I didn't see it live. I only saw it after the races. So I know it was in qualifying or practice. So I'm not sure if it was Friday or Saturday. I do believe it was Friday. They were doing some practice starts. Everybody lined up with the split lane. So half the field on his side. And Malcolm Stewart got coming in a little hot. Hard on the front brake. Does a little nose wheelie into the side of Aaron Plessinger. And Plessinger went down hard. So that kind of put a little damper, a little rain on the Cowboys parade. Cooper Webb also coming back after re-aggravating his thumb injury, qualified 8th with a 141.1. So, being in Charlotte, close to Cooper Webb's home, thought he'd have a pretty good showing. Nothing too crazy for Cooper Webb coming off an injury. Nothing to write home about either, that's for sure. Especially Moto 1, where he had a little incident, if you will. I guess speaking of motos, it's time to get into the 250 Moto number 1, where we had chaos from the very beginning. Gates dropped, like I mentioned, split lane start. So the guys will go down, riders on the left will turn left, riders on the right turn right, and then a little straightaway, and then met up at second, third-ish turn area, where first it seemed like the right side was going a lot better for everybody. They were able to keep a little bit more speed coming out of their turn two, opposed to the left side. Their turn two was a very tight turn two, right where the riders all grouped back up. So it seemed like the right side was a little bit faster. They were able to keep more speed, momentum up, going over the double, single, whatever they were doing over it. So, back to the 250s. First moto, first start. We had Jalik Swole get into a little bit of some troubles on the very start straight. Let's see where I can. Where are we? Got to go a lot further than I thought. Volume's on. So they did not post it. Okay. Jalik Swole, the very inside gate on the left side. So very inside. So they're going and they're turning left. He's got not really a straight shot because he's got to come back a little bit right, but gets a little off track, hits the little dip where the start straight ends and dirt kind of goes down, and just got thrown off the bike. Levi Kitchen pulled that whole shot. Deegan, bad start. They had to red flag that race. Two turns in, so everybody came back around. Levi Kitchen later said that was just like a kick to the nuts after pulling the first whole shot and then seeing that red flag and having to go back to the gate. And he did not get the exact same jump in moto or start number 2. The guy who did get the jump, I talked about him earlier, the rookie Julien Bohmeer. Obviously, this is his first super motocross weekend. He comes across the stripe in first, coming from that left side, even though everything I just said with the right side seeming like it was a little bit better. I know the two hole shots in the 450s, I believe, both came from that right side of the gate. But Julien Bohmeer was able to grab the hole shot. Deegan, another very bad start. Chance Hymus, I mentioned him earlier, even worse start. Deegan was in ninth. Chance Hymus was all the way back in 20th. He got two bad starts, so I'm not really sure what was going on with him, but Hymus just was not on it in Concord. I was saying Charlotte a couple times. It was Concord. My bad. So yeah, Juju grabbed the hole shot and he had a solid, I'd want to say 4 second, 3.5 to 4 second lead almost the entire moto. So, yeah, once he got that lead, he was ripping. That's for sure. And then, didn't have too much action until about halfway through the race, where RJ Hampshire, looking to, like he said, he's looking to get in the danger zone a little bit. Getting past Joe Shimoda here, though, with Hayden Deegan coming. RJ was able to go on the inside of the sand section. A little bit rougher, but also a little bit shorter. Set him up for the inside of the next turn. And was just able to take advantage of it right there and get right past Joe Shimoda with the freshly broken collarbone, who Joe Shimoda was able to joke about it a little bit. He said that now breaking both collarbones kind of evens it out a little bit. I'm not sure if that's true. I'm going to just take a shot in the dark and say it's not true. It's not actually even, but hey, what do I know? I'm not a doctor, like I said. So then RJ was then going to try and set his sights on Julien Bohmeer, but he had to play a little defense with Deegan, who was hitting that big quad in the rhythm section, the one and only rhythm section. It was a long sucker too. Sorry, got a little distracted there. So yeah, RJ was holding them off. Deegan trying his best, doing his Deegan stuff, but took a mistake from RJ, who it was a big mistake. RJ running second, hit a tough block in that long rhythm lane. Big crash for RJ Hampshire. Over table, off table, and then was he going for he gets a little cross rut going up the face of the jump. Sends him to the left, and yeah, he's just along for the ride. Hits the concrete wall divider that's out there for the drag races. Hit that. I'm not sure what they can do about that. I know I mentioned it. I sent a tweet out last year when they first showed off the track there and thought hopefully they take these concrete barriers out, but they haven't taken them out either year. And no one paid the price last year, but RJ Hampshire sure did smack his back pretty good on that concrete barrier. Gets up, front number plate gone, bike handlebars a little bent up and messed up. So yeah, he went from second with about just under 8 minutes left. And then ended up finishing in 10th. So obviously not Not what RJ Hampshire, the fastest qualifier, really wanted to do here in moto number one. And then Hayden Deegan just started taking out little chunks of Julien Bomaire's gap. It was 2.5 seconds when Deegan got around RJ. And so he just started taking out little chunks here and there. He got past Julien. Was about 2 minutes later in the same section. Julien overjumps a little bit, cases the jump. Deegan's airing out the quad. So a mistake from Julien Bomaire gives Deegan the lead. And he just kind of ran off with it from there. So it went from two bad starts really in this moto from Deegan. Helped out with a red flag in the first one, and then turns around and got another bad start, but was able to come through the pack from, what I say, ninth place where he started. Yeah, ninth place where he started, and to win it where on a track where everyone said it was could be a little difficult to pass on, but he was able to make the moves, especially early when obviously a lot of the guys are packed up a little bit early. Was able to make some moves and eventually get his way up to Julien Bomaire. Bomaire has the little case. Deegan got through the quad, over table, all that easily, and get the win. So obviously Julien Bomaire was looking for his first career win. Wasn't able to get it, but put himself in a good spot to have a chance at his first career podium as well. So shout out to Julien Bomaire. He had a bet with his, Carlos Rivera, one of the head honchos there, the Red Bull KTM Factory Racing team, where if he didn't get, I believe it was a podium in the first moto, Carlos was going to take his phone. And then if he didn't get a podium overall, he was going to take his phone all week through next race weekend. So he was able to keep his phone going in to moto number two for the 250s here. So now switching gears up to the big fellas here on the big bikes, the 450s Moto 1. Interesting thing to note here real quick was that everyone had a regular knobby tire on except for Eli Tomac. Eli Tomac had a scoop tire on, said he felt very comfortable on it. Not sure what he was running for qualifying. So I guess I can go look real quick and see if I can find any pictures of Eli Tomac during qualifying to see if he was running a knobby tire or the scoop tire. So I'll go look for that real quick right now. Okay, so I just looked and I could not tell. I was looking at some pictures, couldn't tell if they were qualifying, practice, or actually during the race, but it seemed like every picture I just looked at, he had the scoop tire on. So I'm not sure if he was doing it all weekend or not, but from everything I just looked at, it looked like he always had the scoop tire on. Obviously, some of the pictures were a little blurry when I had to zoom all the way into his tire, but I did my best. So that scoop tire turned out to be a pretty darn good idea because he went out and ripped the whole shot, followed closely by the two Lawrence brothers. And like I said, Eli Tomac, that right side, Eli Tomac was on the right side. So he had a little bit better of an angle coming into the next turn. So yeah, he was able to grab the hole shot with Jet right behind him, then Hunter, and then nothing other than Filthy Phil Nicoletti. And Grant Harlan and then Chase Sexton. One thing everyone's saying going into this was the only thing that can stop Chase Sexton are his starts. And that proved to be the case here in Moto 1 and Moto 2. He started in 6th in Moto 1 here. And then ended in 4th place. So he was only able to make 2 passes. One of them, the only one that you saw on TV was him just ripping around the outside past Ken Roczen with maybe a new button, but not at that time. So, yeah, Eli Tomac, scoop tire worked out pretty darn good. And then for a little over half the race, we had a Lawrence brotherly battle here. Jet was maybe kind of taking it easy behind Hunter Lawrence, trying to figure out how much could Jet actually give. With his thumb, obviously, coming back. 30 days, I think it was 66 days, but it was around 30 some odd days faster than Eli Tomac and Cooper Webb. So, I was expecting a good, strong Moto 1 out of Jet, and then I was expecting him to maybe feel the effects of that thumb a little bit here in Moto 2. But, yeah, we'll get onto that, obviously, when we get onto it. So, yeah, that was a real fun battle to watch. Until Jet, pretty much, I think Jet said in his head, okay, I'm going to try and go chase down one of the best of all time now, Eli Tomac. So coming back into the stadium, looked like there's the little double coming in back into the stadium. Looked like Jet lands a little bit smoother than Hunter. Hunter kind of seemed to slam down a little bit harder. So Jet was able to get on the gas and get the power to the ground. And then over the little ski jump, Jet jumped a little bit further, got the back tire back down quicker, and that's how he was able to make the pass on his brother. And, yeah, it was pretty funny. On the podium after Hunter Lawrence was asked what he learned from battling his brother for about over half the race there in Moto 1, and his words were, yeah, he's annoying on and off the track. So, yeah, as a little brother, I can admit we are probably pretty darn annoying. But up front, Eli looked very, very comfortable. Had about around a 5-second gap all race long. So, yeah, it ended at 5.099. And when Jet made the pass on Hunter, it was 5.07. So Jet was able to get the move on Hunter. That sounds weird. And then wasn't quite able to reel in Eli Tomac. So Eli Tomac goes out there, leads wire to wire from pole shot line to the checkered flag. Really the only kind of crazy thing here that happened was Cooper Webb. He decided to just kind of go wherever he wanted to. Got docked 6 positions for cutting the track. So, where are we? Got dropped all the way down to 14th place. So yeah, not quite exactly what what Cooper Webb was hoping to get in his return. So he finished ninth, got dropped down to 14th, and that was really the only crazy thing that happened here in 450 Moto number one. I guess you can look and see Justin Cooper, your fastest qualifier, finished 7th. Plessinger feeling the effects on that Friday crash. I did see, when I was looking for the Eli Tomac stuff, I did see it was a Friday crash for Aaron Plessinger. So he finished 6th. Ken Roczen 5, Chase Sexton 4, Hunter Lawrence, Jet Lawrence, and Eli Tomac are your podium. 3-2-1 right there. So, yeah, strong first ever SMX for Eli Tomac, first moto at least. Really strong comeback here for Jet Lawrence after his first real injury. Well, he did have the big crash in Anaheim, I believe it was his rookie year, maybe it was his second year, but first big 450 crash that forced him to miss time. So yeah, strong comeback for him in second, and then Hunter Lawrence backing up his outdoor performance with a third, where he was always on the podium, seemed like in outdoors. So he starts Super Motocross off on the right foot here in Moto number one. So now switching back down here to 250 Moto number two. And Juju goes 2-4-2 in the 250 class, 4 hole shots. He was on the left side, so both 250 hole shots did come from the left side, and both 450 hole shots, I do believe. No, it was Justin Cooper. I still do believe it was the right side. Yes, it was the right side. But we're on 250s here. We're wrapping up the 250 class. So yeah, Julian Bomer goes out, grabs another hole shot. And like I said, Chance Hymus, two bad starts. Started in 20th once again. Deegan in 8th this time. So yeah, two bad starts for both of these guys. Levi Kitchen able to get a little bit of revenge here for his Moto 1 first start, where he grabbed the hole shot, was able to get a better start here, I do believe. And yeah, he came out third here in Moto number 2. So where are we? Got a little lost there. Oh yeah. Levi Kitchen, just 2 minutes into the race, coming down the start straight that the left side kind of had to deal with. That's where Levi Kitchen was able to make the pass, going right before right after they exit the stadium. Levi was able to make the move on Julian Bomer, and then he said he was feeling good. And then Deegan was on his way for Julian Bomer. Also, he was able to, okay, yeah, he quadded his way into third place there, past his teammate, Max Anstey, right? Yeah. He's able to quad his way past Max Anstey. And then a little bit later, the one and only bowl turn that was out there, he was able to go on the inside of Julian Bomer, get past him there for second place. And then it was Deegan setting his sights on Levi Kitchen, much like we saw in the first round of the Pro Motocross, where once again another mistake put Deegan into the lead, much like we saw in the first round of the Pro Motocross, mistake from Levi Kitchen, little track marker in his boot. I'm not sure if we all remember that, but that was crazy time for Levi Kitchen in his boots, that little month stretch there. But Levi Kitchen not able to double. Deegan could double, and then turns around, gives him a wave in midair, and then threw a whip going back into the stadium. And then Julian Bomer barely held off Joe Shimoda for his first career overall podium. And he gets to keep his phone now. He won the bet. Deegan wins Moto number 2, goes 1-1. Levi Kitchen second, Max Anstey third. That is your Moto 2 podium. And then Julian Bomer and Joe Shimoda round out the top 5. And my personal top 5 coming into the season, we had 7 and 8. We had Tom Vielle, RJ Hampshire, 7th and 8th there. And then you got to go all the way down to Chance Hymus in 20th. So, not a hot start for all 5 guys that I picked to be competitive in this championship. So, overall, Deegan goes 1-1 for first overall. Julian Bomer 2-4 for second overall. And then Levi Kitchen 5-2 for third overall. And they do, I think it's called like Olympic scoring, where Deegan's 2, Julian Bomer 6, Levi Kitchen 7. And just off the podium would be Joe Shimoda with a 3-5 for 8th overall, or 4th overall, but Moto scores of 8, I guess, would probably be the best way to put it. So now, taking a look here at the 250 points, Hayden Deegan came in with the lead over Levi Kitchen. They leave the same. Everything pretty close to the same, except for Julian Bomer is now up to 5th overall with that good 3rd overall there. And, of course, everything here going into next week, or coming out of next week, could be completely flipped on its head with the double points that we got. But, right now it's Hayden Deegan in 1st, Levi Kitchen 2nd, Tom Vielle 3rd. So, a little bit of some flip-flopping going on here with the rest of the points lead. Scrolling down a little bit, but the top three and four, I do believe, top 4 are all the same leaving North Carolina as they were entering North Carolina. So now going over to the 450s, Moto number 2. We had another Monster Energy Star Racing Yamaha. Also, side note, Eli Tomac still has the scoop tire on for moto number two. But, yeah, his teammate, Justin Cooper, also on that right side, grabbed the whole shot, but still a good start for Eli Tomac as he was third. So it went Justin Cooper, Jet Lawrence, Eli Tomac, Hunter Lawrence, and then Chase Sexton in fifth. So once again, Chase Sexton, I mean, starting fifth behind those guys, not too bad, but of course, you're starting fifth behind those guys. Especially those guys being Jet Lawrence, the way he's just been able to take the momentum straight away from Chase Sexton here in this round one of the Super Motocross playoffs. And so nothing super crazy was going on once again in this race. They are only 20 minutes, so not as much time for craziness as there is for the pro motocross races, but Eli did pull out the quad to get past his teammate Justin Cooper. The only problem with that quad is he just wasn't able to do it every lap. It worked out, obviously, there. Being able to get past Justin Cooper and get to the lead. But then Jet was also able to get past Justin Cooper when they were coming back into the stadium. And how much time was left when that happened? Just under 14 minutes, Eli Tomac was out front by a second and a half. So, obviously, not crazy far. Chase Sexton kind of in a little bit of a distant third at that point behind Jet and Cooper, Jet and Justin Cooper, by a little over 2 seconds. So, I mean, not super distant, but still some plenty of time. And then we had an absolute 10-minute battle between the young gun of Jet Lawrence and the grizzled veteran, I'll call him, of Eli Tomac. They battled for 10 minutes straight. Jet seemed to have a little bit of an advantage in the sand, which is kind of interesting because, like I said, Eli Tomac did have that scoop tire on, but Jet Lawrence was constantly doubling into the sand where Eli Tomac was just eating the rollers and just trying to go right through them. Jet was kind of going up and over them. Rest of the track, Eli was a little bit better, which, I mean, kind of counter, would that be counterintuitive? I think so. That's a big word. Jeez, oh, Pete. But I'm still questioning that. I'm pretty sure it's counterintuitive. Not like I have a computer in front of me to look it up or nothing, but it's fine. You get it. Would not be what you were thinking with Eli Tomac having the scoop tire opposed to Jet Lawrence having just the straight up knobby tire here. But that sand section is where Jet was able to make the pass there. He made it in the kind of like the little rollers right before the sand section, and then got into the sand section, did that double, and was able to get a little bit of ground from Eli Tomac at that point. It was just a really just an insane 10-minute battle between Jet Lawrence and Eli Tomac. Sexton was able to kind of poke his nose up in there for about a lap or so, kind of get a little bit on the rear wheel of Jet Lawrence, but never really able to make anything really happen. But yeah, Chase Sexton was definitely close multiple times in this race. It was a better race for Chase Sexton than Moto 1. He did say not very comfortable on the bike with running the Supercross suspension. So obviously they're going to need to figure something out. Not only for these last two rounds of this playoff series, but especially going into next Monster Energy Supercross season, if he wants to really hold a candle to Jet, if he wants to have a chance at this championship, this one exactly right now that I'm talking about, the playoff series, and also next Supercross season, they need to find something. He's got to get more comfortable. Because I feel like he was honestly probably having some bad flashbacks to how the Supercross season went after he went out there and really dominated the outdoors after, well, even a little bit before Jet. He was able to make some moves on Jet before Jet got hurt. But still, Sexton coming in with all the momentum. His starts, they got to be better. Carlos Rivera was asked in an interview about how Sexton said they still got to find something on the bike. To me, Carlos Rivera kind of answered it, saying, got to get better starts. They're never going to stop working on the bike, but needs to get better starts. So it did kind of seem like he was throwing Sexton under the bus a little bit. I'm sure that's not what he meant to do. But it didn't seem like he was too happy with Chase Sexton and his starts. Now, obviously, Sexton's not going to be happy about coming around the first turn in fifth and sixth with the two Lawrence brothers and Eli Tomac and Justin Cooper all in front of him. So, he needs better starts. Everyone can see that he needs better starts. So, yeah, hopefully he works on his starts this week going into, Fort Worth, Texas, Tejas. So, overall, Jet with the 2-1 beats out Eli's 1-2 with the tiebreaker being the second moto still. And then Sexton with a 4-3 for third to wrap up the overall podium. And then Hunter Lawrence with a 3-6 for fourth. And then Ken Roczen 5-5 for five. Let's see. 1 through 4 were my top five coming into this. And then, they were in my top five. And then last guy that was on that list, not in that order exactly, was Aaron Plessinger, who, like I said, had a little bit of a problem on Friday with a crash. Went 6-11 for 8 overall. But you got to assume the cowboy going into some cowboy country here, going into Texas, I'm sure he'll figure it out a little bit better. Looking at the standings now, Chase Sexton came in with the lead, leaves with the lead, although he is now only 4 points in front of Jet Lawrence, only 5 points in front of Hunter Lawrence, and 12 points in front of Eli Tomac in fourth. So, double points next week. Sexton has said a couple times that last year he did it all backwards. He started good and then went downhill. So then he said, in the post-race press conference. Hopefully this year he does it the other way. This is his worst. And then as the points escalate, he escalates, elevates his riding and overall performances. So going with a little look ahead here, I mean, it's hard 250s not to pick Hayden Deegan, and then 450s it's hard not to pick Jet Lawrence. So I think you just got to go with the guys who are winning, and they are a winning. So I'm going to see if I can find the track map here for this Texas race. Looks very Daytona-esque with the kind of how it follows, kind of like a NASCAR track type of NASCAR track type of vibe. Looks like a longer track. The start is right in the middle, like Daytona, with a big sweeping left-hand turn. Not a split start. There's a couple sand sections. There's an over-under. There is one split lane, it looks like, on the backside. Maybe a couple split lanes back there. A little split turn and then a split rhythm section. So, yeah, that's going to hopefully create some solid passing opportunities. So, the way it looks here, yeah, both sand sections are right-hand turns. One's a little bit sharper than the other, but two right-hand turn sand sections. Obviously, they're a little extended coming into the turn and leaving the turn, like normal when they're in turns. So, yeah, let's take something I'm kind of wondering here is weather, because it is a 1:30 their time, 1:30 Texas time in the afternoon. Now, granted, it is beginning of September, but let's see what the high is. Holy smokes. The high is 100 degrees in Texas. So 1:30. Now looking on this weather app, if it's got the time difference, which would be 2:30 where I'm at, it would be 98 degrees. Why are they racing in Texas in the middle of the day? I mean, later at night, it's the low that day is 75 at 7 in the morning. Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. That's going to be a very hot race. So, I might switch my pick. Chase Sexton, he is my new 450 pick with the endurance we saw him have in outdoors and how he was able seemingly to never get tired. Chase Sexton is my my little curveball, new pick for the 450s. Give me Chase Sexton to win Fort Worth. Grab a hold of that momentum once again that he had coming into last weekend. Give me Chase Sexton. Extend his points lead. And maybe a little winner take all going into the final round in Vegas. But yeah, that'll about wrap us up here for this playoff round one recap here. Of course, talking underscore moto on X. Questions, comments, likes, retweets or reposts, quote tweets, all that fun stuff. I'm open for all of it. If you've got questions, send them in. I'll try to answer them to the best of my abilities. unless they're like health questions, because obviously, like I've said, I'm not a doctor, but I'll give it a shot. Don't take any of my advice, though. Just rub some dirt on it if it hurts. I don't know. Anyway, talking underscore moto on X, and we will be back next week to talk about what's seemingly going to be a very hot race, temperature, and hopefully close racing. Talking underscore moto on X. See ya.